Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. I think earlier last week, at some point in time, I was just in the book of, I love the book of 1 Peter. It's a great book and written to Christians who were enduring a lot of persecution. So it's if you're going through a really hard time or a trial or something, it's a great book to read. And just reminds us of what's going on in the midst of this. And I'll just read the familiar verses. And just kind of riding on what Bishop Chuck talked about Sunday morning. Right after Jesus was, the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was immediately thrust into the wilderness, is what the word said. So he just... And then 40 days just went through all kind of temptations and trials, day and night. But in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials and temptations. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of trials of your faith the salvation of your souls. And that's just a here and now word. And I really love that because everything that we go through is to give us a greater revelation of who Jesus is, right? So, in other words, it's really worth it, everything. But that's not the verse. It's just kind of leading into these. And I'll read them and then come back and kind of explain them. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which are yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Back in 13... about therefore prepare. Now, this is a really good Lenten word because that word prepare means to tighten up or to take out the slack, right? In any area in our lives where there's slack, you know, because Lent means to lengthen, right, to stretch. So it's saying prepare your minds for action, right? Because this is where the battleground is, right, between the two ears. This is where it takes place in our minds. Prepare your mind for action. Keep sober, it says in spirit. And of course, that we know what the word sober means, not to be intoxicated or unintoxicated. But actually, in the meaning of this is that we can be really intoxicated by thinking something, wrong thinking for so long, it can dominate your mind, right? And it can, in the sense, intoxicate you. So being sober in mind is to be unintoxicated in areas in your mind where you've been agreeing with the adversary. Okay? And we all have those places, y'all. I love this. Fix your hope completely on the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in the midst of this, of keeping sober, preparing ourselves, ready for action, but set your hope on, which is very important, completely on the grace that's going to be brought to you when Jesus reveals himself in the midst of it. Okay? That's real important because when you're going through something, if you can, you know, just set your eyes on the prize, you know? Your prize is Jesus. And so the enemy wants to really take your mind off of that. So if we get focused on that, just completely on the grace to be brought to us, it'll just totally change again the way we think. In verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But actually, the way it's really written, I really like this. It says, children of obedience. Children of obedience. Don't be conformed to these former lusts or passions or desires that are opposite from the Lord in your ignorance. But that's a really important word because it's talking about our actual identity there. That we are, and you are, if you're a Christian, you are a child of obedience. Romans chapter 6 explains it to us in that we've been made slaves of righteousness. We've been enslaved to righteousness. That's our new creation. The new creation is actually a child of obedience. That's who you are, right? And we know, we hear that all the time, and we start from, you know, faith is where we start from a place of victory, right? And you say, you can even say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm a child of obedience. I'm not a child of disobedience. My actual identity is that very thing. You are, and I am, children of obedience, right? We've been enslaved to that. Kind of, if you can imagine yourself being just chained to obedience into the Lord, that's who we are. But I really like this one, next one. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy in all your behavior. And we all have a desire to do that, right? I mean, that's just a real word that's going out, especially with the youth today. Just holy behavior, you know, in our character. It says in all areas of our lives this. Again, it says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. And here's how it was actually written in the Greek. And it changes everything. This is the real verse that really I've been meditating on. But as the one having called you holy, in all your conduct be. As the one having called you holy, in your conduct holy be. Be holy. As the one who said to you, you're holy. Therefore, be holy. Right? Makes all the difference in the world. Because, you know, Scripture tells us in Ephesians, in Colossians 1, He has reconciled to you in His fleshly body in order to present you before God holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Ephesians says, where was that one here? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. So, like the Holy One who calls you holy, therefore be holy. Because you are holy. That's your identity. See how that changes everything? Changes you from once something that you're striving for. Oh man, I want to be Christ-like and I want to be holy because that's what He requires of me. Well, of course you can do it because He called you first holy. If He calls you first holy, therefore be holy because that's who you are before Him, right? Makes a total difference. Because it is written, and also in all your behavior. And a lot of translations will say your conduct, the way you conduct yourself. But this word is really a cool word too, because it actually means from down to up, change of outward behavior from an inward upturn. It's kind of two words that come together. In other words, holiness comes from your innermost being, right? And your conduct, my behavior, comes from my innermost being, where I am in union with the Holy One Himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about God allowing us to go through things, disciplining us or making us disciples so that we may share His holiness. Holiness is not something you can do on your own. The very character, the very Holy One who now lives in you, all your behavior now and all of the way we conduct ourselves comes from our innermost being up and out, is what that word actually means. Like Jesus said, rivers of life would flow out of your most innermost being, right? Up and out of you, because that's who you are. The Holy One who lives in you now is in you, up and out of your mouth, through you, going to create holy behavior. Really good. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that was an Old Testament passage quoted. But this is how it actually should read. Holy you will be, for I am holy. It's like a prophetic word to us, you know, as New Testament believers. Holy you will be, for I am holy. In other words, I'm going to make you holy one day because I am holy. And that's what happened. We know that. As Jesus, you know, when at his death, burial, and resurrection, God restored to man what Adam lost. And that's the very presence of God. And this very presence in us, we know that, is holy. So it's just an encouraging word to you. If you get beat up like I do when your behavior is unholy, right? You're just not being who you are. Because who you are is holy. And I just love how the Lord does that. He always, in the book of Ephesians, you know, we love to talk about chapter 6, which is all about the warfare and putting on the helmet of salvation. But if you don't understand what he said in the first three chapters, it's not going to make any sense to you. Because all he does in the first three chapters is lay the foundation of your identity, who you really are. And if you start with that one, then the battle is going to be a lot easier. Right? Because when you do something, say you just, blow it, unholy behavior comes out of you, you got to do action in your mind. Say, wait a minute, I'm not being who I really am. Because who I really am is holy. And so when the adversary is telling you how unholy you are and how much of a failure you are, that's how you do battle. You remind him who you really are. Oh, I'm holy. I'm a child of obedience. You declared that holy you are, for I'm holy, because I'm holy, blameless, and without shame, without reproach in his presence. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.